because we have the Christian hope that is stabilizing. It is sure and steadfast. We can look forward with anticipatory joy to the time when we wake up to sleep no more. It's such a blessing to have this kind of hope in days like these in which we live. In a world of turmoil, we need peace. In an age of anxiety, we need peace. In times of trouble, we need peace. In the midst of our personal dilemmas, we need peace. During domestic difficulties, we need peace. During critical challenges, we need peace. In inexplicable illness, we need peace. And we need not just ordinary, everyday peace, but we need the peace of God that passes understanding, that is available to only those who are the children of God. Certainly it is a blessing that God has allowed us the opportunity and the privilege of being together this morning for the purpose of worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. It's a beautiful day outside. It's a beautiful day inside where we are privileged to offer up worship to God, our Heavenly Father. We want to talk to you this morning from a familiar passage about a familiar activity on a physical level, but also on a spiritual level. The activity of which we speak is common everyday walking. God blesses us with the ability to walk, to ambulate from place to place. And indeed, it is a great blessing that God provides us with and empowers us to utilize. Brother Quarles read for us from Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17, and our lesson shall be based upon this particular passage this morning. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This passage tells us how the believer walks day by day throughout life. It tells us that how he walks is crucial to the cause of Christ and to the welfare of society. He either contributes to the building up of society, or he contributes, unfortunately, to the tearing down of society. He either carries the message of life to the world, or he carries the message of silence and death to the world. For this reason, it is important that the believer walks carefully and that he walks strictly throughout his life. Verse 15 lets us know that we are to walk carefully and strictly by looking around and watching every step. Life is a walk. It is a path to be trod each and every day. When we arise in the morning, we begin to walk about. God expects us to walk circumspectly. Circum means around. This word comes from the word circumspector, around, circum around. So we walk, and spector is to see. We walk literally looking around, exercising caution, demonstrating a spirit of vigilance and watchfulness. One, as a Christian, is to walk carefully and accurately, exactly as he should as a child of God. There are two kinds of persons who walk throughout life, and you represent one of those kinds. And I'd like for each of us to examine ourselves and determine which kind of person are we as we walk through life. These can definitely be broadly categorized. Two kinds of persons who walk throughout life. The first kind, this is the fool or unwise person. This simply means that the person who is unthinking, thoughtless, careless, uncaring, and worldly minded fits this particular category. The unwise is the person who gives little thought about where he should go and where he should not go. He just arises in the morning and goes to work or about his daily routine with little thought about God and about what happens beyond this life. If he makes a mistake here and there, does not matter that much, not to him. Making mistakes is just a way of all human life. He thinks that he will be acceptable to God, whoever God is, if he just lives his life. He doesn't conceive of accountability to God. He doesn't conceive of, and definitely does not appreciate, the fact that God is calling all of us one day into judgment. He thinks that he will be acceptable. He thinks that everything he does is fine, that is fairly decent and honorable and useful. But he's going to be in for a rude awakening. The unwise person is not concerned about watching every step and being alert to every temptation and pitfall. He could care less about struggling and being exact and strict in life. Living a careful, accurate, strict, disciplined, controlled life is not that important to him. Can you be placed in that category, the category of the unwise person as you walk about in life from day to day? The second category, there is the wise person. The wise person. The thinking, thoughtful, careful, spiritually minded, observant, vigilant alert person. This is the person on a mission. He knows God personally, and he knows that he is on earth to live a righteous and godly life and to bear testimony to the validity of God's word and to bring honor and glory to God and to honor Jesus Christ, his son, who died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. Therefore, when he arises in the morning and goes to work or about his daily life, he walks in the presence and praise of God. His thoughts are upon God all day long. He gives precedence and priority to spiritual matters. His life is guided by divine principles and values. He lives a life that is in harmony with the will of God. Mistakes matter to him. It all matters. The daily reports and talk about man's sin disturbs him. Cursing bothers him. Murder upsets him. Immorality disheartens him and sickens him. So does drunkenness, shame, evil, off-colored jokes, hunger, divorce, suffering, drugs, and selfishness, and power struggles and neglect. All of these things disturb the wise man as he walks about in his daily life. The wise man is not only concerned about every step of life, but he struggles to watch every step to make sure that he walks throughout life exact, that his walk is exact, that it is strict, that it is disciplined and controlled. He does not give vent to letting down his hair and doing his own thing or running his own life. His life is controlled by the Word of God. He knows that the only answer to the evil and problems of life is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Listen to Paul in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or calling wherewith you are called. Amen. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6, as you have therefore received Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Verse number 16, Paul says that as we walk, we should walk in such a fashion that we are constantly redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As we walk carefully and strictly, we engage in redeeming the time. The idea is not to buy time. Time is the gift of God. A man has time. What he is to do is to use his time to buy things of value. He is to redeem time, to turn his time in for things of value. This means two things. A person is to use his time wisely. He is not to waste time. Time is a gift of God. A man does not have to redeem or buy time. He already has all the time there is. When he is born into the world, he is born into time. Time exists. It is here with or without us. We do not have to do a single thing to redeem it. What we have to do is to use time and to use time wisely. Use it to the best that we can. The choice is ours. We can sit and twiddle away hours and engage in activities and conversation that is of little or any real value or worth, or we can use time wisely, keeping our thoughts and hands busy in our profession and work, contributing to the good of society, in our worship and service for Christ all day long, joining with others of God's family in witnessing and ministering to the lost and needful of our communities and our cities. A person is to use his time by taking advantage of the opportunities that arise throughout the day. This too is what redeeming the time means. The believer is to redeem opportunities to live righteously and godly in this present world. He is to use this time wisely to be diligent on his job, wherever one works, in whatever work one engages, he can be wise in redeeming his time by being diligent on his job. To set an example of commitment and discipline with work at home and at play, to be faithful to God and his family, to speak up for Christ and righteousness, to pray instead of allowing time to be wasted. Why we are to redeem time? Because the days are evil. This refers to all the evil that exists and that surrounds us and that confront the believer each and every day of his life. So much evil that he must stay alert to keep from falling. He must stay alert to keep from failing as a child of God. He must be alert to live righteously and to bear testimony to Christ. The evil can range from mild temptation to serious persecution, from small money problems to a world economic collapse. The task of the believer is to redeem the time. The opportunity will soon pass because the days are evil. We need to take full advantage of every opportunity for engagement in positive, meaningful spiritual activity. The opportunity to share Christ will pass. The opportunity to show diligence will pass. The opportunity to speak up will pass. The opportunity to love will pass. The opportunity to love our families will pass. The opportunity to love our brothers and sisters will pass. The opportunity to love our children will pass. The opportunity to love our grandchildren will pass. Life is ever fleeting. Time is filled with swift transition. So we need to engage in meaningful opportunities. Because you won't always have your mother. You won't always have your father. You won't always have your brother and your sister. You won't always have your mama and your grandmama. So take advantage of every opportunity to love them, to appreciate them, to serve them, to fellowship with them, to bless them, because the opportunity will pass. The opportunity to work hard will pass. You know, some of y'all are already in retirement, and you've worked hard during the entire course of your careers, and that's a blessing. But now, you don't have to work hard in your career anymore because that opportunity has passed and because you have retired, and that's a blessing. The opportunity to pray will pass. So you need to redeem the time now by engaging in thoughtful and meaningful prayer on a regular basis. The opportunity to give will pass. So give while you still have the privilege. Give while you still have the resources. Give while you still have the opportunity. How many of us waste time? How many of us fail to maximize our time? So much time is wasted by so many, and it can happen to any of us, it can happen to all of us, and at various points in life, unfortunately, and maybe we should blush to confess, all of us have engaged in the time-honored practice of wasting time. We waste time by not really being efficient. We waste time by watching too much television. We waste time in the evenings at home. We waste time by sometimes sleeping too much. We waste time by reading unworthy literature. We waste time by frequently spending it unnecessarily in restaurants. We waste time by engaging in numerous unprofitable activities on the weekends. We waste time by lack of diligence at work. And there are so many other ways by which we waste time. Each of us needs to take a moment and think through where we waste so much time and correct it. More than ever, we need to give ourselves to make a significant contribution to our work and society, to the church and community, to living righteously and godly in this present world, to helping those who are in need by encouraging those who are down and out and who are lonely. We need to help those who are hungry and cold, who are hurting and who are suffering, who are needy and helpless, those who are lost in sin. We need to do what we can to reach out to them and to help them. The call of the hour is to redeem the time because the days are evil. Verse 17, Paul says, "Wherefore, in view of what has been stated earlier, in view of verse 15, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 17, he says, and there are a number of other things above those verses, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." You know, we don't automatically understand what the will of the Lord is. It's not something that just happens, that we have a built-in understanding of what the will of the Lord is. But we do know this: if you are to be wise, if you are to live a life exemplifying a spirit of wisdom, you must understand what the will of the Lord is. And you cannot understand what the will of the Lord is apart from having knowledge of the Word of God. We are to walk carefully and strictly by understanding the Lord's will. The unwise man is a man who does not understand the will of God. And in most instances, he does not really know that he is unwise. But the unwise man has a spiritual knowledge deficit. He does not understand the will of the Lord. The wise man is a man who does understand the will of the Lord. And the word understand means to grasp, to perceive, see with the mind, and comprehend. We talked about understanding calamity in our lesson this morning. And we understand calamity better than most because of our knowledge of and our appreciation of the Word of God. The days are evil, full of all sorts of evil. The believer must understand God's will in order to conquer the evil, in order to overcome the evil. We can overcome evil with good in large measure to the degree that we understand the will of the Lord and implement it in our lives and live out the reality of it on a day-to-day basis. The believer must understand what God's will is if he is to live a successful life of victory. If he does not, then he is as a fool and acting and living and walking unwisely. Again, how can a person know what the will of the Lord is? By knowing the Word of God. Jesus in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, said to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." In John's prayer to his Father, in what we can really term the Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17 and verse 17, Jesus said to his Father, speaking of his disciples, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," or handling aright the word of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, we find the words of Paul that are often quoted, but before we look at verse number 16, let us consider also verses 14 and 15. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, before we look at 16. Paul says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise." The holy scriptures are able to make thee wise. Psychology is not able to make you wise. Sociology is not able to make you wise. Anthropology is not able to make you wise. In order to be made wise unto salvation, we must depend fully upon the Holy Scripture. The Holy Scripture are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And we must heighten our awareness of, increase our knowledge and understanding of the Holy Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Do you understand what the will of the Lord is? Do you understand what the will of the Lord is for marriage? Do you understand what the will of the Lord is for the home? Do you understand what the will of the Lord is for proper parenting? Do you understand what the will of the Lord is for maintaining proper interpersonal communication with each other? Do you understand what the will of the Lord is with reference to how you are to relate to and how you are to treat your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you understand what the will of the Lord is insofar as how to resolve interpersonal conflict? Do you understand what the will of the Lord is relative to homosexual activity and conduct? You know, God has a word that will meaningfully address any issue or any problem with which people are confronted in our modern day world. The Bible, the Word of God, is not outmoded and anachronistic. It is just as up to date and just as relevant as this morning's paper. And it helps us to understand God's will in every particular, with reference to every subject that you can mention, that you can name. King Zedekiah sent to Jeremiah and asked, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah sent the message back, said, yes! There's a word for the Lord. But it was not something that the king wanted to hear. Yeah, the king was not that interested in truth. He wanted something that was palatable and easy on his ears. He didn't want the harsh reality revealed in the Word of God because of his sins and because of his rebellion, because of his iniquity. Jeremiah said, yeah, there's a word from the Lord. There are so many in our world today, they don't want to hear a word from the Lord. And there are a lot of people in our society, they are trying to do everything possible in order to hush up the children of God. Amen. I was listening to a story the other day about a little girl. In school, she was about second or third grade, and she was endeavoring to pray, and her teacher stopped her. She said, you don't need to be praying. You can't pray in school. She said, you don't need to be praying. She said, that's not good. And that little girl, precocious child, she said, prayer is good. The teacher countered. She said, that's not good. The little girl said, it is good. But the teacher was trying to silence this young child. But somebody had been teaching that child to pray to God. Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not faint. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The teacher said, that's not good, little girl. You don't need to be praying. She said, it is good. Mama said it was good. Daddy said it was good. The Bible says that it's good to pray. It's fine for Johnny to have two mamas, or for little Susan to have two daddies. That's not good, because it violates the word of God. And businesses that won't cater same-sex weddings or won't serve or prepare flowers for same-sex weddings because it violates their faith, their belief in God, they have been driven out of business. You know, that was a bakery, and there have been more than one. They refused to provide a cake for a same-sex couple for their wedding. And those folk who were offended by the simple faith and belief that this business owner espoused, that they mounted a successful campaign to drive them out of business. That's the kind of world in which we live today. So we need to understand what the will of the Lord is with reference to marriage and the family and same-sex marriage, because they are trying their level best. The world is trying its level best to squeeze us into its mold. They are trying their level best to force us to place the stamp of legitimacy and approval on same-sex marriage. And they portray you as the enemy. They portray you as a hater. They portray you as ignorant. They portray you as being out of step. But we must understand and be willing to stand up for what the Bible teaches. We need to understand the will of the Lord, what the will of the Lord is with reference to the church, with reference to how to properly worship, that it makes a difference how we worship. It makes a difference what church we are members of. We need to understand what the will of the Lord is. And we have the responsibility for studying the word ourselves. We have the responsibility as church leaders and teachers to make sure that we teach our young, to make sure we teach all of our members, that they might not be unwise but understand what the will of the Lord is. Mamas and daddies have a responsibility for making sure that their children understand what the will of the Lord is. If we are to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the times because the days are evil, being not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. If you're here this morning and you want to become a child of God, you want to pledge your allegiance to the Lord, Jesus has already died for your sins on the cross. He's already been buried. He's already been resurrected. He's already made our salvation possible. You've heard the good news of the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith and submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And you can become a brand new Christian, ready to walk in the newness of life, walking circumspectly, walking as one who is wise, walking as one who is making the very best possible use of his time, walking as one who has an understanding of what the will of the Lord is. Why not become a Christian today? If you're already a child of God but have fallen by the wayside, why not rededicate your life? Do you understand the will of the Lord about rededication? how you can be restored. We are told that through repentance, confession, and prayer, it can be done. That's what the will of the Lord is, in accordance to the second law of pardon. If you have fallen away and need to come back, why not do it right now as we together stand and as we sing?
There's a fountain free, it is for you and me. So let us haste, oh, haste to the drink. It is a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you and me, thirsty soul. Hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
There's a living stream with a crystal beam from the throne of life. Now it flows.